Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. I heard Brother Chiti praying, saying we've got every reason to thank the Lord this morning.
Amen.
I don't know how many have got reasons to thank the Lord. How many have got reason to thank the Lord this morning? Amen. How many believe he deserves a round of applause? Amen. I think we can learn quite a lot from a bed. Amen. When it is raining, it sings for the Lord. When it is summer, it sings for the Lord. How many have ever met a depressed bed? Hallelujah. The secret for the bed is in praising the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. I'm told that a praise of a believer disorientates the devil.
Amen.
And when you are happy, the devil expecting you to be upset, it really drives the devil mad. Amen. Now, without waste of time, let us turn to the book of Matthew. Pastor Crosby Maleko said I must pass his greetings to the church.
Amen.
Amen. He's actually on his way to South Africa. He was preaching for Brother Donny Reagan on Wednesday in America. He gave me a call and said he has been invited to Cape Town. But as it is a custom, he will pass by this way.
Amen.
Because this side, he does not need invitation. He is our friend. Amen. So on his way back to the UK, he will just stop by and bless you with a wonderful message. Amen. It's good to have such friends.
Amen.
This Brother Bremsey's friendship comes from the Lord. Amen. How many have got good friends in the building?
Amen.
So, I think if you are married, you should have a friend.
Amen.
Your wife should be your friend.
Amen.
How many have got wives as their friends? God bless you. We are getting somewhere. We are really getting somewhere. God bless you. How many sisters have got husbands as friends? That was quite finished. Amen. Are there any sisters that have got husbands as wives?
Amen.
I think it's Sister Malaka, the Freddy. Freddy's wife, she has raised her hand.
Amen.
All right. Amen. God bless you. Your husband must be your friend. Amen. Maybe some are trying to be friendly. The husband is not friendly. We will fix that.
Amen.
God bless you, Rich. Now, without waste of time, let us go to the convention is coming. Just keep it at the top of your mind. Be in prayer. We're expecting God to do quite a lot in our midst.
Amen.
And then let's turn to the book of Matthew 19. That is Matthew 19. God bless you, Sister Greener.
Amen.
God bless you, Brother Arnold.
Amen.
Matthew 19, verse 3. He found... can hear with an amen.
Amen.
The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and the twain shall be one flesh. A man should leave his father and mother.
Amen.
When decisions are to be made in the family, a man does not consult with his mother and his father. He consults with God. Amen. Because he is the headship in the family. Amen. And then if the pastor is there, he can check with the pastor as well. But the pastor is not the head of your wife. You are the head of your wife. Amen. Now, wherefore, there are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. But they say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. Amen. From the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whosoever marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. Amen. When the disciples realized the gravity of what was spoken in verse 10, they said to his disciples, say unto him, if the case of the man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry. Amen. I disagree with the disciples. I think it is good to get married. Amen. But they were just shocked by the gravity of what was being said. Just turn with me to the book of Corinthians. I'll just give you the chapter now. Paul is saying something there as well. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Found, you can say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Can help us, Sister Salumi? I'll wait for the sister. No pressure. Amen. God bless you. Found. God bless you. Amen. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Paul says, now, concerning the things, not just the thing, not just the thing. Now, concerning the things whereof he wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. There were quite a lot of things on Paul's table. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, because fornication doesn't take place within marriage, it takes place outside marriage. Adultery takes place within marriage. Amen. Fornication is for unmarried people. Adultery is applicable to married people. Amen. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife. Brothers, not girlfriend. Amen. Not a chat buddy, not a pen pal. But let every man have his own wife. Amen. Can I have an amen from unmarried brothers? And sisters, let every woman have her own husband, not boyfriend. Amen. Husband. I'll stop there, or maybe verse 3. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power over her own body, but the husband. Likewise also the husband hath no power over his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that he may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. Continency refers to a lack of self-control. Amen. That's what Paul said here. We'll come back to that as we bow our heads. Or maybe before you bow our heads, let's go to the same verse 8. I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. That was Paul. Amen. It's quite amazing. Progressive revelation. Paul says it is good for them if they abide as I. Brother Branham comes and says the greatest thing that God can give a man outside salvation is a good woman. Progressive revelation. But if they cannot contain, let them marry. For it is better to marry than burn. Amen. It is better to marry than burn. As we bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, we have read a portion of a scripture. A lot has been planned on what we need to speak to. The planning has been done by us as people, trying our best as we can to help your people. But I've got notes before me, and I committed these notes to you. I've got things in my mind. I committed those things to you. If there are things in my notes that should not be spoken, may you help me eliminate them as I'm preaching. If there are things that are in my mind that should not be spoken, help me to eliminate them. Because once I come to the end of the service, my greatest desire is not for me to have spoken my wishes, is for you to have spoken your wishes. At this point in time, I'm reporting for duty, and you are the one that is responsible for what needs to be spoken here this morning. I'm a channel through which you will use to speak to your people. May you help your people, dear God, especially in this late hour. Anytime we can see the signs are there, our redemption is near. We can see Russia taking its position, America taking its position, North Korea taking her position. We can see what is happening in the Middle East. Until such time, even unbelievers are beginning to realize there's something that is about to happen. But we are the blessed people because we know what is expected of us in this hour. We are about to go home, dear God. And this morning, help me to be sincere in what I'm going to speak about. Help your people to be sincere in what they are going to receive as we commit ourselves to you for your glory. And I say, devil, for all the demons, we bind them in the name of Jesus Christ, that everything should all run under the supervision of the Holy Spirit, dear God. We pray for every person in the building, visitors and regulars. May you deal with them in a special way. If there are needs, may you grant them their needs, dear God. You are the God that knows the hearts. If there are unanswered questions, may you provide answers so that when we come to the end of the service, people should say, did not our hearts burn when the Lord was speaking to us? That is our desire as we commit everything to you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. While you take your seat. Amen. Amen. Just a few minutes, I want to speak on the marriage covenant. Amen. Marriage covenant. It's not a marriage it's not a marriage contract. It's a covenant. Amen. A contractor has got exit clauses. A contract has got what do they call in legal cycles, suspensive conditions. You do this, and I will do that. And if you don't do that, then you have breached the contract. I can be excused from the contract. So a contract has got, every contract has got loopholes. Amen. And you know, the law, I've come to realize that the law is not fair. Amen. People can find loopholes around the law. Amen. You can see in our country, when you've got a bigger pocket, you can navigate around the law. Amen. But when I speak about a covenant, marriage is a covenant between a man and a woman, and with God being a witness of such a covenant. Amen. Now, I've often said in this church, I said the Bible is a marriage book. It opens with marriage in Genesis. When you come to the middle of the Bible, you find Joseph and Mary. And when you come to the end of the Bible, you find the bride adorned, hallelujah, for her husband. Are we together? So the whole concept of salvation is based upon marriage. Amen. So you would understand that if the marriage, and that is why Paul comes, he says, when I speak about a man and a woman, I speak of a great mystery between Christ and the church, which tells you that it's a great mystery. And if it is a great mystery and the entire mystery of the Bible is based upon marriage, I'm persuaded to think that the devil hates marriage. Amen. Amen. We believe the devil hates marriage. Amen. If it was the devil's wish, he wants to obliterate the marriage out of our lives. He doesn't want marriage to exist anymore. Amen. That is why he has come with the lighter versions of what we call marriage cohabitation. And cohabitation is a sin. Amen. Cohabitation is a sin. Amen. Men and women marrying, staying together without being married legally, it's cohabitation and is a sin. The scripture is unscriptural. Are we together? And marriage belongs to the altar of God. Are we together? Brother Branham will come where Brother Branham shows these things. But there are steps to a marriage so that we can help those, because when we speak, we'll be speaking about those that are outside and those that are inside. Amen. The greatest danger in our time, those that are outside are struggling to get inside. And those that are inside are struggling to get outside. Amen. That is the irony of our time. Are we together? But when you have done things scripturally, and you have been led by God, you struggle to stay in your marriage. Amen. You realize that, what can I be without this woman? What can I be without this man? Because you have come into unity under the Holy Spirit. Are we together? But when God is absent in a marriage, marriage is a nightmare. I'll repeat that. When God is absent from a marriage is a nightmare. But when God is in the marriage is a blessing. I expect a better amen than that one. Amen. So marriage has got various steps that we are going to take you through. Those steps, God bless you. I see the elder is here. Amen. So marriage has got this is the uncle to Sister Tendai. May God richly bless you, sir. Amen. He was a blessing last time when he was here. is the pastor in Zimbabwe. Amen. Now, I said there are steps to one's marriage. Or before I get to there, what makes this message attractive? What this makes this message to be esteemed high is not so much of good songs that we have. It's not so much about good people that we have, but is the quality of holiness that this message was able to produce. How many agree with me? The greatest thing that makes this message to be esteemed high is the quality of holiness amongst the people that believe this message. Hear me out. It's not the great mysteries, because you can have access to the mysteries while the life is filthy. But the greatest thing about this message is the quality of holiness amongst the people that believe this message. Are we together? Amen. And while at it today, we've got to understand, Brother Branham says in this message, before I get into my subject, he says in the message, the stature of a perfect man, paragraph 172, he says, we are not building an organization. We are not here this morning to build an organization. Christ never sent me to build an organization. Christ sent me to build individuals to the stature of Jesus Christ, that they might be the powerhouse. Hallelujah. That they might be the powerhouse and the dwelling place of the Spirit by His word. And when we say you are a powerhouse, that means a sinner could be sitting next to you sick and they can walk away healed, because you are a powerhouse. Are we together? When you are a powerhouse, you and a demon cannot coexist. When you walk in, a demon has got to vacate the place, because you are a powerhouse. Are we together? It says, by His word, build up the individual to that place. Not build an organization to a greater denomination, but build the individual to sons and daughters of God. That's the idea. Amen. That is what we are all about, to build individuals. Are we together? Yes. Now, when it comes to marriage, the reason think these things have got to be, some people that have been quite around, they can say, do we have to rehearse these things? Oh, yes, there are people that come into faith that are new into the faith and they've got questions. They don't know how to navigate around certain situations. We've got to give it out to them. And even those that have long been in the journey, sometimes they come across certain situation. They've got to have, a believer is a kind of a person that would want to have a scriptural answer for every situation. Did you hear me? Not a psychological answer, but a scriptural answer for every situation. And I'm not nullifying psychologists. Psychologists have got a role to play. Brother Bram says we need doctors. Right. Hallelujah. And God will work with doctors in a certain realm. But above that realm, what you need as a believer, hallelujah, you need a scriptural answer. A believer is somebody that is scripturally inclined. Everything that, every move that they make, they say, is there a scripture supporting my move? If there is no scripture supporting the move, they don't move in that direction. Are we together? An unbeliever can live any kind of life, can be swayed by every wind of doctrine, but not a believer. A believer, their move is a scriptural move. Are we together? That's why they always search the message and say, what does the message say about this situation? Because what's happening, they don't want to bring reproach on the very thing that they really love dearly, which is the message. And the message is Jesus Christ revealed in our time. Are we together? Now, when it comes to marriage, there are four steps. Brother Branham says, if you go and check, it starts with the decision, engagement, vows, and ceremony. decision. At no point in time does it say fleeting. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Fleeting is when a boy or a girl wants to cast a spell on you without committing to the process. Hallelujah. Fleeting is demonic. Fleeting is demonic. Are we together? Amen. When you express or want to influence a person in a certain way, you must be committed until towards the end of the process. Are we together? Do you see why in the message things that are light amongst denominations, in the message they are quite heavy? Amen. In the denominations, if a sister is cold, a young man can just take a jacket and say, "Hey, here's a jacket," but not in the message. Because in the message we know it's not just the jacket that leaves the body of the boy and to the body of the girl. There is a spirit. Are we together? Am I talking to message believers this morning? These things, they look simple, but unless you know, the devil can hijack you. Amen. And really cause such a major distraction in your life. Amen. How many believe that we've got to have godly marriages?
Amen.
Amen. We've got to raise our children in a godly manner. Amen. Now I said it's decision, it's engagement, it's vows, it's ceremony. Before any contact could be made between a boy and a girl, we strongly recommend that the boy has got to first express an opinion of marriage to his pastor and later to the parents of the girl. This shows how we consider the gravity of the situation. Why does it have to go to the pastor first? We don't want boys that get into multiple processes, and as a result, later degrade our sisters. Are we together? And that is why when you are a sober man, a sober man is never attracted by many women. Amen. Only a drunk man, whenever he sees every woman, he thinks that he can be a wife. But a sober man has got a target. Amen. And that target is identified by the Holy Ghost. Are we together? And for him to lose an interest in the target, there must be something major and drastic that must have happened. Are we together? Are we together, folks? Amen. And if you pray, if you really, because the first person that you've got to consult with is God. And God has got no oops. He can't show you a sister and say, "Oops." Hallelujah. If there are oops in the process, it means that you did not pray. That is why Adam had to go into deep sleep. So that it must never be human operation. It must be a divine operation. Are we together? Hear me, young men. If you marry right, you have won half of life's battles. And if you marry wrong, you have lost half of the life's battles. Amen. How high a man will rise depends on how he marries. Amen. Are we together? Now, this is a quotation to me. As I'm preaching to you, I'm preaching to me. This quotation is not so much about you, it's about me now. The Ephesian church age, the prophet says, the Bible says, whatever you do in word or in deed, do it all in the name of Jesus Christ. Is that right? If you marry, marry a person. If you can't, if they are all scrambled up in their marriage, don't marry them at all. If you can't freely say, I pronounce you husband and wife in the name of Jesus Christ, let them go. Are we together? If the pastor cannot take confidently, and that is why, as we mature in the ministry, because sometimes people think that if a young man is all scrabbled up, some people thought that marriage will fix a person and say, this man is irresponsible, why doesn't he get married? Marriage will make him to be responsible. Let me tell you, if he's irresponsible, marriage does not change a person. Hallelujah. And marry, if he's a sinner before marriage, he will be a sinner after marriage. Marriage is not new birth. Hallelujah. Are we together? If he is an unbeliever before marriage, he will be an unbeliever after marriage. Are we together? And let me tell you, a young man, hear me and hear me very well. When you have lust, marriage is not a ready remedy for lust. The Holy Ghost is the remedy for lust. Amen. If you marry while being lustful, marriage will just elevate the lust. You are just putting petrol on fire. Did you hear me? Are we together? These things have got to be spoken because we need sound men of this doctrine. We need sound young women of this doctrine. We need men and women that can rise above the snares of the devil in the end time, that can be exemplary to this dying generation, so that they can look at our young men and say, goodness, if that message can produce that. Because you must remember, the reason we are still standing as message believers, despite the onslaught that we are subjected to, where people are questioning the cloud, is because we've got one question. Show us anything that can produce what the message of William Branham has produced. And they are unable to bring anything. Muslims cannot bring it. Hallelujah. Jehovah's Witnesses cannot bring it. Pentecostals cannot bring it. Only the message of William Branham was able to produce the goods in our time. Are we together? And that is why, because of the end product that we have, we can say, yes, you can question the process, but what do you say about the end product that we have? This end product is the product of the Holy Ghost. Are we together? How many in the building believe that their message, their lives would have never been what they are had it not been of the message of William Branham in the end time? We are not ashamed of our messenger, folks. This message can produce the results. Hallelujah. Do I have witnesses in the building? Yeah. Hallelujah. And I had a young girl that asked me a question and said, Pastor, sometimes I've got battles. And my question was simply say, since you were in the message and where you are now, had you not been in the message, what would have been your life? How would your life panned out? Says it would have been very terrible. And I can say, many people, had it not been of this message, many families in this church would not be standing as I speak. Oh, hallelujah. Had it not been of the message of William Branham, many families, I'm not saying out there, I'm saying in this church, would not be standing. Many families were saved by this message. Many men would have never amounted to what they are now had it not been of the message of William Branham. Many women in this building would not be what they are had it not been of the message of William Branham. And today, some of you are the end product of the process of the message that came through the messenger in the end time. I don't know how many are the end product here. You're not the end product of the pastor. You are the end product of the message of William Branham. Had it not been of this message, you would not be the kind of woman or kind of man that you are today. You think in a certain way, not because you are clever, but because there is a process that was divinely triggered by God in the end time through the prophet messenger. That is why we will never turn our back on Brother Branham. I will repeat that. We will never turn our back on Brother Branham. We're going to be loyal to his message. We're going to be loyal to this cause until we are taken home. And those that left the messenger never understood what they would have been had not God sent this messenger? And that's why once he has gone, others say, listen here, Brother Bram says, if you've got a question around doctrine, come to me. But later, the very same people are the ones that introduced the two gods in the message. Brother Bram, when he said to a certain brother and say, if you've got a question, go to him, he was not referring to the bride. The brother was a theologian. Are we together? And sometimes we've got to mention names. Hallelujah. Brother Levi. I'll come to the message. What amazes me is that he was in the meeting. Brother Bram even wrote him an audio letter. He was there many years in the service, but he was not baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Many years he was standing there in church, not baptized. And Brother Bram kept on saying, I disagree with Brother Levi. Why would you disagree with the prophet messenger? And he says, because he is a doctor. If you've got a question about anything, go to him. He was not referring to the bride. He was referring to the theologians. When we've got a question, we don't go to a brother. We go to the prophet. Are we together? Why I'm saying that? I'm simply saying the prophet is the final arbiter for the age. Not any other brother. The prophet is the final. He's the one that has got a final say. Because what's happened, the spirit and the prophet and the bride will say exactly the same thing. Amen. That's why we are not struggling to be in other people's good books. But we are struggling to be in the prophet's good books. That's one man that we want him to pat us on the back and say, you have done very well, my son. You have done very well, my daughter. Because he is the friend of the groom. Amen. Are we together? I believe what has reduced the momentum in the message in various cycles is mainly in the manner that we handled the marriage and divorce issue. Many of you, I'll read Brother Branham said, you got involved in a mess because of the junk of theology. But I believe parents can go into a problem because the message wasn't there. But I don't believe our children should go through what their parents have gone through. Are we together? And for us to avoid that, we have to speak the uncomfortable truths so that our young people can know what is expected of them. Because sometimes, as somebody said, when instructions are not clear, you blame the leaders. But when instructions are clear, then you blame the followers. Are we together? So you've got to be very clear. Our young people have got to be very clear of what is expected of them. Amen. Are we together? Yeah, because they are fighting a more vicious enemy than you as parents did when you were growing up. Brother Bram said the devil has gone. He's terrible in our time. He's more vicious. Amen. Now, the message, the choosing of a bride, Brother Branham says 58. Sometimes certain marriages can be there for 25 years. And after 25 years, there is a problem. And when you go and do a thorough diagnostic of the problem, sometimes we realize that actually the problem did not start on the 25th year. It actually started on the very first time when these people met. Are we together? And I will get you to there. Brother Branham say in this message, The Choosing of a Bride, paragraph 58, he said, again, the kind of woman that a man would marry will reflect his ambition and his character. Your wife reflects the level of your ambition in life. She becomes a billboard for everybody to see what you had concealed as your aspirations and as an ambitions, and your ambitions will reveal your character as an individual. So, no matter how a young man can be humbled and love the Lord and sing very well, watch what he marries. Because what he marries will reveal the character in the boy. Are we together? Brother Brown says, what he ties himself to shows truly what's in him. A woman reflects what's in the man when he chooses her for a wife. It shows what's down in him. No matter what he says outside, watch what he married. I said something here, brothers, on a very practical level. I said, if a young man marries right, he has already won half of life's battle. Are we together? Amen. What it simply says, when a man has married right, his time is no longer consumed by tit and tats for in the marriage. He's able to be focused on what needs to be done, and he's got the right helpmate. And hear me out, brothers. Men that become successful is men that work with their wives. Hallelujah. Never be in competition with your wife. Your wife is there to compliment you, that whatever is lacking on you, God has deposited in her. That's why she has become a helpmate. Hallelujah. And men who treat their wives as doormats never rise higher. Hallelujah. Their rising is limited. You watch it. Watch how a man treats his wife, and it will show how far that man will go in life. Did you hear me? Yes. A man who mistreats his wife, Brother Bram says, his prayers are never answered. They hit the rooftop, they come down. But when you treat the sister right, you become a friend of God. You know why you become a friend of God? Because God has put his marriage between his son and the church as a prototype, as a pattern. And when your marriage fits that pattern, God sees himself as a stakeholder in your marriage. Did you hear me? Amen. And brothers, we've got enough sisters in the message. Don't embarrass us by going outside. There is enough sisters in the message. And any brother that marries outside the message is actually bringing an indictment on the message. He's actually saying, I don't have confidence in this message. This message cannot produce a wife for me. I'll go and find a wife outside. We can't lie, brothers. Action speaks louder than words. You can't say this message is the truth, this ministry is the truth, but you don't want to benefit from the ministry. You go outside of the ministry. Amen. And the brothers that marry outside, they take us backwards. Because we've got sisters. Are we together? I know amen will not come, but it's the truth. Amen. Used to love Brother Judge Martin, say, hate me, love me, but it's the truth. Amen. Then that is how it is this morning. Are we together? Amen. Now, Brother Branham says in this message, in the message, the Hebrews 3:5-7, he says, some little old girl here not long ago, he says, this isn't a joke. It's not a joke because I don't mean to tell it as a joke. But the people know that there is no place to joke. There was a fine boys here, Christian boys, Long ago, when I was pastoring here, we used to have just young men's classes, and I would speak to the young men on Sunday afternoon about sex and things, and the next Sunday afternoon speak to the young men and try to get those things kept out. You remember this statement, Brother Brim says, when I was pastoring. You must remember he was an evangelist, he became a pastor until God said he must leave the evangelical field and become a prophet. Amen. So that means things that he used to do as a pastor, he couldn't do them because now he was operating in a certain level. This was left to Brother Neville. Are we together? Amen. I really encourage that from time to time, we need to take our young men aside and speak to them. We need to take our young women aside and speak to them. Are we together? But I'm not on that. Brother Brim says some little old girls started going with some little shrimp downtown here who smoked cigarettes and had a flask in his pocket. He drove a little roadster car around town. I couldn't see what she saw in that boy. He wouldn't come to church. He would sit out there, put her in the church out here. Then he would sit out there on the outside in his car and wait and wouldn't come in church. I said one day, she lived in New Albany. I said, I want to ask you something, Gailey. What in the world did you see in that boy? And I think there is a question that some of our young people, we need to ask them, what did you really see in that boy? What did you really see in that girl? Amen. Amen. And sometimes I said, what in the world do you see in the boy? I said, in the first place, he hates the very religion that you have. He despises your Christ. He would never make you a husband. He would never make you a husband. Hallelujah. Because he's not a husband material. He would make you miserable all your life. I said, well, there is a fine little Christian boys here that you would go with. That's why I'm saying to our brother, there are fine sisters in the message. Hallelujah. Now, I said, well, here your daddy and mother despise the thoughts of you going out. You can see it's already a recipe for disaster. Religion, he despises her faith. He despises her parents. Her parents despise him. But you go and you think, I'm a sweet 16. She started wearing makeup and running out. First thing, she was in road houses. She was gone on to eternity and she stood here. You know what excuse that girl gave me back there that she loved that boy? She said he's got such cute little feet and he smells so good. Could you imagine that? Perfuming himself, that's a sissy, not a man. Look, I said, sister, I'd rather go with a Christian boy that had feet like gravel cars and smelled like a polecat if he was absolutely a Christian. It's an excuse. Such cute little feet and smell so good. The little road house runner finally ruined the life of the girl. It's a shame. It's a disgrace. Are we together? No Holy Ghost playing any role in this selection. Are we together? And we can say that many of our young men are beginning to act like this sister. Hallelujah. He smells good. But let me tell you something. Unless he respects your faith, unless he respects your faith, and unless your parents approve him, it's already a recipe for a disaster. Are we together? Somebody has got to first really, really respect your God before you can go anywhere with that individual. I'm simply saying the reason I'm painting this picture, some marriages get finished before they get started. Hallelujah. And if the foundation is not strong, the building at some point in time will crumble. And the foundation, it must be, is the matters of the faith. You've got to make sure that you are diligent. And I'd much better even take it further today that it's not enough just to find a brother in a message church. Hallelujah. Because not every message church is a message church in the true sense of the word. We've got to say these things. Hallelujah. You cannot say you are in the message and practice polygamy and say you are not in the message. You are not in the message. And sometimes our young sisters, that's why we've got to encourage them to read the spoken word, to be able to discern the doctrine and say, if I get married to this man, look at the doctrine that he believes. Look at what this doctrine has produced. Even though he claims to follow Brother Branham, we need such an intensity of discernment in our time. Are we together? Long dress is no longer just enough, brothers. She must be filled with the Holy Ghost. Sisters, hey, him driving a nice car is not enough. Him holding a good job is not enough. You will cause a headache for you for the rest of your life. He must be filled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is a determiner whether a real believer will get married to a partner or not. And marriage is not a sprinter, it's a marathon. You go into that for a long time. And I had much better to, if the love was, if it was this infatuation that brought you before the man of God, infatuation will not last more than 5 years. It will run out as soon as you find out that his feet smell. It will turn you off and you will be irritated. And if it was infatuation, that marriage is gone. But when you said, I love this woman and I don't know the reason I love her, but I love her godly character. Characters like wine, the older she gets, the better it becomes. And later you look at the same woman that you married 50 years ago and you say, I feel I can pull her inside of me and so that we can become one. What happened? Your choice was right from the beginning. Looks are not enough, brothers. These days, because we are being influenced, yellow boneness is not enough. You will find a bitter yellow bone. Are we together? Don't go with the I don't say she mustn't be beautiful. She must attract you. But however, the looks, it must not be the determiner. You must go further. Check, even to a certain extent, check her family as well. That's what Brother Branham says. You know, when you go, I've got an aspiration of owning a pirate, a gray African pirate. Amen. Maybe when you come to my house, it will sing Amazing Grace for you. But people that are into breeding, they are very particular about the process of breeding and what species are they breeding. And they investigate the species because they know that if they know they've got the background data, they know they can project. You do you know that there is a saying, past behavior is future behavior. It does not apply when one becomes a new creature. But if one is not a new creature, past behavior is future behavior. He who stole in the past will steal in the future. Unless there is a new birth that brings a transformation. Are we together? Amen. I'll come to this one. Amen. Our young people understand me before I move. Decision, engagement, vows, ceremony. If the decision is not meant to end in a ceremony, abandon that decision. It will ruin you. And when a decision is made, the pastor, the parents must be part of it. and later engagement. And once vows have been made, it is till death do us apart. And we have a ceremony to cement that. Amen. I think I'm done with my young people. I can move on to married people. Amen. Amen. Now, there's a tendency, and I, you have heard me, I say certain things. I don't know how many people came into the message while they were in their senior years. They feel like only if this message could have come while I was still younger. How many had that feeling in the building? Amen. When people say that, it's because they watch how their lives panned out before the message. And they realize that this thing, had it come into my life much earlier, I would have avoided 1, 2, 3. And some of them, their hearts bleed when they see you and they look at you and say, had I received the message when I was the age of this young man or the age of this young woman, my life could have turned out better. And when you begin to take the very path that they took before they knew the message, it breaks their heart. Why is this person doing this while knowing the truth? Are we together? But those that made the message came later in the year, you need not to regret. The message came at the right time. Whatever you have gone through, you had to go through that. Maybe you would not have had the level of appreciation that you have for the Lord now had you not gone what you went through. Because you look at that and say, goodness, the person that I used to be, I'm not proud anymore. But I'm no longer that person. It's because you have experienced the power of transformation. So you must never beat up yourself and blame yourself. And the devil must never put you on a guilt trip, telling me that all is forgiven. All has been put under the blood. I'm a new creation, belonging to a new genetic pool. Are we together? I will repeat. There is nothing that you did before you came into the message that is too bad to be forgiven. And if you have asked for forgiveness, you have been forgiven. And you had much better forgive yourself as well. Are we together? Because what's happened? There had to be a sinner before there was salvation. And because salvation was there, there was a sinner. And the sinner experienced salvation. And sometimes, as we are singing Amazing Grace in the building, so we sing this Amazing Grace at different levels. There are those that really know from the depth that the devil, God, had taken them out. And they realized that, goodness, I was in a deep mess. There was once where I did not have the grace of God. But today, grace found me. And grace positioned me or placed me in the body. I'm thankful that I was once blind. Hallelujah. It only takes a blind man to appreciate sight. It only takes a man that was deaf to appreciate sound. So the reason today you are appreciating, you know the contrast. You know where you were before. That is why you cannot play church, because you will replay church and you know where it ended up. Yes, mommy and dad raised you in a Sunday school, but your life went haywire until somebody came your way and said, there is a message, there is a messenger in the land, and that message is a message of restoration, and you let go of everything. And today you are here, you can sing Amazing Grace. The devil must never ever make you feel guilty. Everything that you had to go through, you had to go through. You had to follow a script. But today, it is all forgiven. Under the blood, it is forgiven, folks. And that is why you can appreciate more. Hallelujah. Yes, we can preach about marriage. If you were divorced, it's fine. There is no shame in that. You were divorced. You did not know the truth. Yes. Hallelujah. But today, because you know the truth, now you are a responsible believer. You say, now I know what is expected of me. I will not fail you, God. Amen. And the devil must never use your past to discredit your testimony. Amen. Did you hear me? The devil must never use your past to discredit your testimony. Your past does not define you. Your mistakes do not define you. Your history does not define you. Today, grace, the grace of God, defines a believer. Not the history, not the mistake. The grace of God defines a believer. I am who I am today because of the grace of God. I am forgiven, I'm justified. Because I am a son and a daughter of God. And David, you have nothing on me. Yes, you did such and such thing. Yes, it was. You have got my name. It was a mistaken identity. There's a particular demon in hell that hijacked my body at that time against my will because I did not know better. But under the ministry of Malachi 4, I've regained my identity. I know who I am, and the things that I used to do, I do them no more. I am forgiven. I've broken the spell of the devil upon my life. Do you get it, brethren? No, the devil must never put you on a guilt trip. Refuse to take the ticket. Refuse to go on a trip. Because when we preach like this, and some are saying amen, the devil is jumping on the shoulder of others. You remember, you aborted a child. You are a murderer. Whisper to his ear, it was not me. You stole my identity. Now I know who I am. Amen. Now, we discourage our young people to marry unbelievers. But hear me out. Hear me out. I've realized that God, you know what is a denomination? A denomination is when they pick up one formula that God used and they prescribed it. Jesus opened the eyes of the blind, but in different ways. Somewhere he took the mud, smeared the mud on their eyes, and they were able to see. But it doesn't mean that every blind person that comes, we've got to go and look for the mud. Are you here, folks? I'm simply saying how you came into the message. We are not going to determine and say this is a prescriptive way that you've got to come. And certain things, folks, it depends on your motive. It depends on your sincerity when you repent. I know, brothers, that along the way the devil overran them and they married outside. And later they repented and came back into the message with their families. They became so genuine until their wives, who were not message believers, became more genuine than the people that were born in the message. Are you here, folks? People like Ruth, they were not born in Israel. But when the family backslided and left the land of Israel, they came back with a woman that said, your God shall become my God. Your people shall become my people. But it's because Naomi was sincere. And her sincerity produced Ruth. Are we together? But it's not where you do it deliberately. Get me where I'm going. Now, there are times when the message comes, we discourage our young people not to marry outside. But once they've married outside, we cannot disown them. We still need to go after them. Are we together? But yes, we'll put them under pressure. We will really put them under pressure. Because they've got to pay after. Once we have taught you, and you deviate from what we have taught you, and you do what we told you not to do, you've got to suffer the consequences. Amen. Amen. Now, there are people that the message came to them. the wives or the husbands were not in the message. And they came, accepted the message, believed the message, and they are happy. Hear me out, even you young ones. When you accept your message, the message, and your father is a drunkard, you don't, after you have accepted the message, you go home, and when your father speaks to you, you say, I will not listen to a demon. It's not only fanatical, it's irresponsible. Your father must be able to look at you and say, this son of mine is different from the others. And look, those words, he will not say it when you come and say, I've accepted the message. It's when after he has rejected you, refused to buy certain things for you, persecuted you, but saw you coming back, giving me respect as a father. Opening him when he comes late at night drunk, and you open the gate, and you respect him and say, Father, how was your day? Good to see you, Daddy. While he's drunk. But if you dare call him a demon, you are really now creating more problems for yourself. Because God is not going to partner with you there. Are we together? A father who's not a message believer is still a father. A father who's not a message believer still deserves respect. Are we here, folks? A mother who's not in the message is still a mother, must still be respected on a natural level. Are we together? Because we've got levels. If you don't have respect for her spiritually, have respect for her morally. You are morally obligated to respect her. I know what I'm talking about, because as soon as young men were at school, as soon as young men accepted the message, he went back home where they are Catholic. He came back and said, I will no longer go to church with you. Roman Catholic is of the devil. You are worshipping the devil. You've got to have a manner to present the truth. Brother Brown say, our message is not difficult. The problem it is how it is presented. And sometimes when we present the message, when you present the message and you present it in such a manner that you come across as if you were never a sinner, you must know you are misrepresenting the message. But when you begin to say, my sister, my brother, I was like you. I really had struggles as you are having a struggle until I was helped by this thing. Hallelujah. Then you see how you introduce that, it becomes very appealing to a person. Did you hear me?
Yes.
Amen. Now, when you come into the message, and maybe a partner does not believe, and you believe, what happens? They have a question for Brother Brenham. I'll read it. Brother Brenham, I've just accepted the message. I'm a sister. My husband is not a message believer. He's a sinner. Must I leave him to get married to a believer? They ask Brother Brenham that question. You know why she's asking? She sees the husband as a demon. She wants to run away from a demon to an angel brother. Sounds good to a human eye if you are without discernment. And maybe she can even come and say, yo, he doesn't want me to come to church. Are we together? This is what he does. Hallelujah. But let's listen to what the prophet says. Question and answers. Paragraph 36. That's the way you get contradictions in the Bible. It isn't so. Is a brother or a sister in the Lord, can he marry or remarry and be free if they leave their companion to marry again? Brother Branham says, he is attempting to read a scripture. He says, let not the wife depart from her husband. if she departs, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put her away. But to the rest, if any man, brother, hath a wife that believeth not, Brother Bram is trying to get this question. He says, if we married a wife, I got married and I became a believer, and my wife wasn't a believer, let me put her away. Brother Bram says, oh no, that isn't. You can't do that. If any brother has a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. That's not because of marriage, that's because of unbelief. Not marry, remarry. If a woman which hath a husband that believeth not, if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Hallelujah. Amen. If the believer says, I'm not going to live with you any longer, if the unbeliever says, I'm not going to live with you any longer, you have become a Christian. A man tells his wife, because you've got saved, you are not going to get out of the world where we once was. I'm going to leave you. Then, and nothing you can do about it. Let him depart. On the other, woman say to her husband, I'm not going to mix up with that bunch of holy rollers. I'm not going to do this. I'll separate and leave you. Don't you leave the church. You let her leave. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such case. That is, if your companion is pushing you away and wants to depart for it, you don't have to just hold on to them. If they are wanting to leave you and they are going to leave you for the cause of Christ, let them leave. But you can't remarry. God has called us unto peace. Not that you can remarry again. He's already stated that. But you don't have to live with an unbelieving husband or unbelieving wife if they are not willing. Brother Branham says, if you get married, if the message finds you, you are married to a person and the person doesn't believe the message, if they are happy, if you are happy with them, continue with them as you are. While you being a believer, while her being an unbeliever, or him being an unbeliever. Because a believing partner, unbelieving partner, will be sanctified by a believing partner. Are we together? But when he comes to you, he says, listen, because of your gospel, I am going to leave you, because you can't go to where we used to go. I'm going to get another woman that will go where we used to go. And he leaves you. Let him leave. But you remain with Christ. Because you can't do anything about that. But you can't remarry. Did you hear that? So that means if I receive the message and I'm an unbeliever, or I'm a believer, and my wife is a unbeliever. I'm a believer, she's an unbeliever. If she's still a wife morally, there is no reason why I should not leave. But today, if she runs around with me, and I can end up contracting a disease, then I can leave, but I cannot remarry. Did you hear that? I want you to listen closely, because that's where the devil takes advantage and distorts things. There is time where you can leave and remarry. There are times where you can leave and not remarry. The only time where you can leave and remarry is when there's been a case of fornication. Fornication, it means something happened before the marriage. It was not confessed. And later you find out about it. And you say, goodness, I did not know. That means the vow was not made in good faith. Hallelujah. But let it be known to you, once you have discovered that, and you say, I've got a quotation to leave and remarry, and you come to the pastor, the heart of the pastor, the first thing will try to say, is she remorseful? Is there an opportunity for you to forgive her if she's asking for forgiveness? Are we together? I know she did not divulge it, and I know you've got the right to leave and marry somewhere else, but is there an opportunity for you to forgive her? You get what I mean? We are not just simply saying, you leave. No. There must be a way where we intervene. Hallelujah. But if the offense is such grave, Brother Branham says, you can leave. Do you hear me, young girls? As you run around with boys, one day there's coming a time where you are going to have to be serious. And the right one will come. And right there, you've got to confess everything that you have done to this man. And if you do not disclose certain things that happened, and later he finds out about them, he's got a right to say, I was misled. Did you hear? That's a scripture. It's painful. That's why a young woman knows the best gift that I can give to my future husband is a preserved life. The right gift that a boy can give to his future wife is a preserved life. It does not only apply to the sisters only, it applies to your brothers only, you as well. You must come where you divulge where you have been to. I can take it further. If the sister say, he is the right brother, but I think we must do an HIV test, you're not going to come to say, hey, she's not spiritual. You will do it. Hello? We are living during the dangerous time where we cannot trust anything at face value. But even after, brethren, you must understand, don't put comma what I put. Even when you discover that the brother says, listen, I actually did 1, 2, 3, and I ended up contracting this disease. Who said you cannot be married to him? But as long as the full disclosure has been done, because God is still a healer, if the brother is genuine, God can heal HIV. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. But this, it needs a person to be sincere. If you hide something and we find out about it later, you've got to suffer the consequences. Does it sink in? And young girl, if you would know, every frog can tell you that you are pretty. And you fall for frogs. The day Prince Kat Charming Charm, look again, Prince Charming comes and says, I love you, will you marry me? But you realize that, I still have the frogs that I must tell him about. There will be a pressure to you. Do I hide the frogs? Or do I confess about the frogs? My plea to you, don't run around with frogs. Leave frogs alone. Wait upon the Lord. Are we together? Amen. Brother Branham says, brother, do you see Paul says, concerning the things that you have written to me, Moses had the letter of divorcement, Jesus was tempted about marriage and divorce, Paul had things that he had to write about. Brother Branham, when he came, there were many things. Brother Branham, until he kept on saying, don't ask me about marriage and divorce. I'm waiting for the Lord. I've got many here who married it 3 times. I've got my son whose marriage was annulled. Although there was no ceremony, but he made a vow. He was as good as married. As soon as he said to that young girl, will you marry me? And the young woman said, yes, I will. They got married. It's not a pastor that marries you, it's the vow that marries you. And Brother Branham later had to go and annul the marriage. That is why he went to tell Brother Billy Paul, don't preach. Just testify. Don't preach. It that issue. And I'm glad that this prophet did not make it easier even for his family. Because he was not loyal to the family, he was loyal to the Almighty God. Amen. Then today, you want to say there are certain things that Brother Branham hid when he was telling things that were happening in his family. Are we together? So, others, Brother Branham found, he was married to a woman. Or a woman was married to a man. And later, the man leaves the woman, gets married to another one. And later, they are struggling now with marriage and divorce. They ask Brother Branham, must I leave the one that I'm married to now and go back to my first wife? The prophet says, you are making it worse. Yeah, Pentecostals, they do that. I'm going back to my first wife. Brother Branham says, you are making it worse. He said to the church, wait as you are until I get an answer from the Lord. Because he did not want to give the letter of divorcement like Moses. Because when he came, he said in the beginning, it was not so. He wanted to hear from this one that knows the original pattern or who's the owner of the original pattern to say, what do I say about these people? And Brother Branham was not under pressure of people to say, listen, I must just give an answer. He says, wait upon the Lord. I cannot give you an answer now. I'm waiting upon the Lord. Especially for you that were caught up in this mess because of denominational junk. Are we together? Amen. Certain things were not here when he came. What happens in Africa when a brother was married to two women, polygamy, did not know the message. He receives the message. He's got these two women and he receives the message. What happens? If you're just the pastor that just runs around because of emotions, you're going to give a wrong answer and ruin lives. Hallelujah. Are we together? Yes. And those that were spiritually inclined in those times, I'm glad we don't have such a problem here. But then they said, you come as you are and you take care of them, you take care of your family. But you cannot see the one that they said, be as you are. You say, ah, if it's like that, I'm going to go and say to the second wife, who will excommunicate you? Yes. We will excommunicate you. We cannot, while we are fixing the mess, we are not giving other people a remedy to say, I can copy the same mess so that I can have the same remedy. Every case is judged on principles. In the message, we don't deal with consistency, we deal with merits. One we can excommunicate, one we can say, brother, come to church. And if you, church, you are not spiritual, you sit there, yeah, the pastor favors that one, he hates that one. You are such a spiritually mature person. Because the pastor sits down there, he sits with this young man, the young man says, pastor, I repent, I'm very sorry about this. The other one, the pastor's got to investigate, and later he finds this, he has concealed that, the pastor finds that, until the pastor says, you have done exactly the same thing, but you, I don't want you to in church, but you can come, and he say, let us pray for our brother. Amen. To you, you think it's consistent, it's merit. Merit. Isn't it even in the court of law where they say, you are, there is a trial, there is a verdict where you are found guilty or not guilty. There is what we call mitigating factors and aggravating factors. In mitigating is when the brother said, pastor, where can I go? This mess, I know I have messed up, but this is the only way. Help me to repent. Hallelujah. Aggravating is when the pastor says, ah, how many times have you been repenting? You are busy. You have repented last year. You proposed to a sister again. You repented the other time. You prepared. No, no, no. You go. Aggravating. Do you get what we mean here? It's not, and deacons must know that not every case is handled in the same way. Every case has got merits. And that is why a spiritual elder must have discernment. Not to listen to what is being said, and to listen to what is not being said. So that you can decipher and say, goodness, this one is lying. Did you hear? Amen. That's why when a young pastor comes up, sisters, if a pastor comes to preside over a matter, sister says, you are allowed to cry, but crying doesn't mean anything. You are just showing how you are affected. But still, we need to go to the details. Are we together? Because if one is inexperienced, when they see a woman crying, they say, this man is a demon. Look, even the sister is crying. No. And the other time, the brother comes and says, the way I'm so upset with this woman. He's angry. But as a pastor, you realize, behind this anger, there's something. You say, brother, let's have a cup of coffee. Let's relax. We are still going to talk. We want the anger to subside so that we deal with the merits of the case. Hallelujah. And sisters, don't think when we come to preside over a matter, I'm Pastor Madiba, I'm a man. When I walk into the building, don't say, he's a man. How can he understand? I'm a pastor. With spiritual discernment. Are we together? And if you are wrong, I will tell you as a sister that you are wrong. And you can say, I know men. You will side with the men. I will still say, you are wrong. Hallelujah. And it's the same with the brother. If the brother is wrong, I'll say, brother, you are wrong. And say, I know the pastor sides with women. I don't care. When you are wrong, you are wrong. And I will say, you are wrong. When we attend to family issues, we don't lean to any particular agenda or agenda. We are looking at the matter at hand. Because if you want mishandled, then... And I know a lot of people, the first thing they want to catch is, on whose side are you on? I'm on the side of God. Amen. Amen. Are we together? So when you are, he said to the one that left the partner, got married to another one. He said, hold on. Stay in that marriage. Wait until I've got an answer from the Lord. Amen. I'll read something here. He says in this marriage and divorce, paragraph 307, friends, that's when this was being revealed to me, what I'm going to tell you right now, so don't miss it. Now I'm speaking to our followers only, who's following me and this message only, not to the outside. This sermon that we are preaching is not for another church. It is for you. Are we together? And that's why, don't ever say, I saw Pastor so-and-so does it like that. I'm not Pastor so-and-so. Or church so-and-so does it like that. This is not church so-and-so. Hallelujah. This is the Lighthouse Tabernacle, Pastor Madiba, then the prophet. Are we together? If another pastor finds a better way to do it, he will be responsible for it. I'm not going to be copycat of other people's methods that I don't know where they originate from. Are we together? Amen. Now, he says, bear me record of this before God, just to this group only. Now, we are found in this mess because of misinterpreted theology. Is that right? That's why you women married the second time and you men because of misinterpreted theology. Now, I want to show you something that he told me. If God, our creator, was questioned to the same question when he was here on earth, Jesus Christ, when his delivering prophet came forth, Moses, down in Egypt to bring the children out of Egypt,
to put them in the promised land. And Jesus said here that Moses saw the people in this condition and he granted them a writing of divorcement. Because the situation was what it was, Moses found such and had said, let himself, God permitted Moses, that Moses sent to the people to grant this writing of divorcement to them. But he says, under modern conditions, I say to these people, go and sin no more. He says, now, if you believe this to be true, and believe it came from God and by the vindication of his clout and his mercy that brought me this far, should not God upon the mountain permit me to do the same thing, to suffer you to go on the way you are and do it no more? Go with your wives and live in peace, for the hour is late. The coming of the Lord is at hand. We haven't got time to break these things. Don't you dare try to do it again. He says, I'm speaking only to my congregation. And if God bore me witness of that on the mountain, that I could say this, a supernatural revelation because of the opening of the seals, this is a question in God's way. Let them go on in as they are and sin no more. But he takes it further, says, teach their children not to do it. And that is why this morning we are teaching you young ones, don't do it. Amen. Brother Branham, when he speaks about the unpardonable sin, when you know the truth, and after having known the truth, you go and do the same thing, it is dangerous. Are we together? And that is why, by all means, unless I can be convinced otherwise, unless I can be convinced otherwise, there is no brother that will leave the wife in this church and run, even after persuasion, marry another woman outside there, and later comes back and say, I have received grace, I want to come back. It will not work. Absolutely, it will not work. Especially after you have known the truth. And you go and do it willingly. Because you know what, certain things, we do it with one person that leaves the wife, goes marry somewhere, and come back and say, God has shown me I need to return back, and he comes, he sits with a different woman here. He's psychologically destroying all young men. They are looking at that big fella, they say, if he can do it and the pastor allowed it, we can as well do it. Because you must remember, as a pastor, if you allow one thing to come, there are many others that will come after that one. That's why you've got to be sober at all times. And the deacons know, the pastor is the one that has got a final say over a marriage. Are we together? Doctrinally so. That means the deacon cannot go behind the back and say, leave him or leave her. No, that's the pastor. Because he's responsible for that. Are we together? I hope for new deacons you understand that one. Amen. I want to deal with one last matter before we go, which is something that has been hanging in the message that is troublesome. It is in the message, marriage and divorce. I'll read it as it is and raise what are the issues around it and tell you what I tell you. Marriage and divorce, paragraph 40. Notice, he can put her away, but she cannot put him away. He did it, proved it in the days when Luther, Wesley, and in Pentecost, when they refused to become the feather part of him by having spiritual sexual affair, to become pregnated with the feather part of the weight, the Lutheran church refused for Christ to have any more desire with her. Luther refused it. Let me say this. So it is today with every one of them. They fail to take that weight, they refuse Christ. And any woman that refuses a child, a man, his child, has no right to be a wife to him. You remember in the Bible when the king married Esther because the queen refused. He just got him another one. What happened when she refused to come out with the king to obey him? The same thing it is with a woman that refuses to be a wife to her husband. From this, others extracted that. Does it mean that if a sister cannot conceive, you need to put her away and get married to the one that can conceive? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Now, we need to understand the background of certain things when Brother Branham said to them. He speaks about spiritual sexual affair, which means consummation of marriage, to consummate the marriage. We are told there was a case at Branham Tabernacle where a brother got married to a sister. They came together, marriage officiated, and they had to go on a honeymoon. At the honeymoon, nothing happened. They came back, 6 months, nothing happened. You are adults, you know what I mean. A year, nothing happened. Until the sister, spoke to her father and said, "There is nothing happening in my house." And the prophet later called the brother. It was discovered that the brother was a homosexual. Brother Branham set the sister free and she got married. Because that marriage was not consummated. And the reason it was not consummated, it was because there were certain things that were not disclosed. You get what I mean? It does not mean you marry a sister, 5 years down the line, you say, she's refusing, I'm going to leave here and marry another one. Doesn't work like that. It does not apply on that, this quotation. Because I'm speaking to other class now, I understand I'm speaking to a mixed audience. There will be a time where your wife is going through menopausal phase. And there are certain things that she used to do as a married woman. She can't do them because she's going through a phase. Are you going to come into my office and say, nothing is happening, Pastor. I want to leave. I will tell you, you have fallen from grace. So that is why you can have the intellect, the eye, the book to read, but you still need a pastor. Because a human being has got a propensity or a tendency to interpret things based on their level of crisis. Because I'm in this, it has changed, it means that. But the pastor will have that view, scriptural view, before your crisis, during your crisis, and even after your crisis. The pastor will have that scriptural view when you love him, when you hate him, and even when you regain love. Yes, it does happen, folks. There are times where one loves the pastor, another time he hates the pastor. One day they have a reunion and say, "Now I love my pastor." Hallelujah. But the beauty about it, a real pastor, once he has stood there, and you move, you will find him even remaining where you left him.
Yes,
hallelujah. A real pastor doesn't go by popular opinion. Today is here because the majority are leading this way. Tomorrow is there because the majority is leading that way. No, sir. Even the church is 1,000, the pastor remains there. Even if half of the church leaves, the pastor remains there. Are we together? We are not responsive to the number of people. We are responsive to the truth. And Brother Branham said, the truth will never make you popular, but it will make you honest. And we genuine ministers, we want to be honest with our boss. Our boss is the Lord Jesus Christ. We are reporting to him, and at no point in time, we're going to misrepresent it to please the people. Is it clear, folks? And I believe if marriage and divorce was to preach thoroughly in many message churches, many will leave church. But as Moses gave them the letter of divorcement, modern day preachers are giving people letter of divorcement. How do I stand in front of you while I knew that you were married to somebody? And I pronounce and say, will you marry this woman? It's not the brother that has fallen from grace. It's the preacher as well who has fallen from grace. And brothers, today every man must be obligated, is obligated to lead his family, to protect his wife, to raise his children in the fear of the Lord. Are we together? Amen. I missed one thing for young people before I close. The message, the presence of God unrecognized, paragraph 116. No man should ever kiss a woman till he's married to her. No man is allowed. There should never be a bodily contact unless you have come before the altar. The only bodily contact, handshake. Keeping a distance as a son of God, keeping a distance as a daughter of God. Are we together? And young women in this church, we said young women in this church must have sobriety. Amen. Brothers is not people that you just meet with. Brother Bram says, you watch your conduct around men. Amen. Because a woman has been trusted with three things. Virtue, sacred womanhood, and motherhood. Are we together? And if I insist, if he calls you, you call me. And I will call him. Are we together? If he sends you the message, you forward it to the pastor. And in brackets, I say, from brother so and so. Then I will send him the message. But if you, as a young girl, you will behave like you don't have a pastor, you will be in trouble. Your life, your morals will be ruined. A sister in the message is not like any other young girl. Are we together? Even when the boys, they invite you to a party. Brother Bram speaks about a young girl that went to a party and said, there is no big deal. It's just a party. We are just going to be with our fellow students. She went there. Her Coca-Cola, Brother Bram says, her Coca-Cola was spiked. She lost consciousness. When she woke up, her morals was gone. And we know that the serpent has got children, and these children are as charming as their father. You stay away from such. Are we together? Are we here, young people? You stay away from such. I'm told, if you just take a Coca-Cola and you put Panado, is it Panado? Panado. When you drink it, blackout. Yes. Is it true? It's Despring. You're right. I thought it's Panado. Despring, Coca-Cola, you drink it, pass out. Imagine if there is no person around you there to protect you. And you were sent to your mommy, it's not a big deal. I want to go. You're oppressing me. You end up with a teenage pregnancy. Because you do not listen to your mother. As much as boys are, brother, the Bible says you must be as wise as serpent. Not every gathering must be attended. Not every young boy must be spoken to. You hear me, young people? You hear me and hear me very well. Because certain mistake that you do now, you will feel the burden later on in life. Some we can be able to help them fix them, but others we may not be able to fix them. And if one young person has made a mistake, you must learn from that mistake and say, I don't want to go that route. Are we together? Amen. I think I'd much better stop here. Marriage covenant. God bless you. As we stand to our feet, Maybe before we sing a song, one more. The message is a serious thing. Brother Branham says, if a woman commits adultery, she has to confess it to her husband. She has to take her husband to the man that she committed it with. And that man must be with his wife. And confession must take place. Do you see how serious this is? And if you bypass that, you can remain in church while thinking that you are a believer. And the rapture happens, and you continue to come to church, and we will be gone. The best way, prevention is better than cure. Stay away. If you are a man, stay away from any woman that is not your wife. If you are a woman, stay away from any man that is not your husband. And have a discernment. When a conversation begins to go in a certain way, you must be able to pick up that we are now, this is now on a foreign land. You need to quickly retreat so that you must not be in trouble. And when you do that, God will back you up. You will see God will bless you and make you prosper. God bless you, Rachel. Jesus, reign, King Jesus.
Reign.
still and know that I'm God. Amen. How many believe he's God? Can you trust him in the midst of the crisis? Hallelujah. He is Lord of Lords. There is no God like our God. He is an awesome God.
Messenger.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let the church say.
Most heavenly, gracious Father.
Thank you, dear God.
We thank you, Lord, for we are saying, let the church say amen.
Thank you, Father.
Because you have spoken, O Lord. You have spoken to our hearts this morning.
Yes.
We really appreciate you, Lord. You have spoken to the young ones. You have spoken to the old ones. Lord, you have spoken to us all. You have even spoken to the pastor. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We really appreciate your presence this morning because you have spoken to your children. We have to believe it. Oh, Father, man shall not live by bread alone,
yes,
but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God.
Thank you, Lord.
Here is the word, Lord. We have to abide by your word because we know in the beginning was the Word.
Yes.
The Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the whole purpose, oh Lord, was to have the word in us. Christ in us. So really, thank you, Lord, this morning. Bless your children. Bless the pastor. Father, you have spoken to us through him. He was just a mouthpiece. And we know we have heard the word from you. So we have to accept it. Not only believe it, but accept it also. This is the remedy for our problems. For whatever that comes in our lives. Remember each and every one of us. We know we got different problems. But you are there to address each problem accordingly. Father, we thank you. Because this is the true word. And no one would say no to it. Every believer. Because we know we are waiting for a certain time. When we are really expecting your coming. And here as your children, we have to believe every word.
Exactly.
So that, oh Lord, when you come, you'll come to your word and we will be changed in a twinkling of an eye. To be with you eternally. Father, I thank you. There is a rapture, lead, Lord.
Hallelujah.
We have to be really believers. The way as it was being preached, really it was telling us to have good positions in Christ.
Yes.
We thank you, my dear Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for everything that you have done to us, even this morning, even tomorrow. Because we know you are the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Thank you, Father.
You love your children. You give them the word.
Yes.
The true word.
Lord.
That will make them survive in this world.
Help us, Lord.
An unpleasant world. It's no more pleasant. Because there is a lot happening.
Exactly.
But we know. But with this message of the hour, Lord, which you brought by the messenger, our brother Brian, we really appreciate that it will make us live in this world happily, knowingly, and knowing that we are the children of God. Father, we thank you. I really thank you, Lord, for your children here, Lord, this morning. Because we have heard this word for years and years, but it's still building us, oh God. It's actually blessing us to our rightful places for the rapture. Thank you, my Father. Grant everybody's desire this morning.
Amen.
So that when we come out of this church, we move in our homes, we in the roads, wherever we'll be, remembering the word, remembering you, God. I thank you. May the Lord bless each and every one of us as you depart. I thank the pastor. I thank the hearers. For I thank the Lord that most. In the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Give us this word every hour. Every day. And let us remember this word every hour. Every day. For us to be more even perfect in thy way. For we know the Bible says, be ye perfect as my Father is perfect. We have to be perfect. In the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you. Satan, we have got no power in the children of God. We have got no power. I say you have got no power. We are victors because of faith. For faith is our victory. And we know, because of this faith, we are victors. We will win the battle. In Jesus Christ's name, we have got no power. Amen.
Amen. Amen. The great physician is near. Once we are done, have a blessed week, a victorious week. We are praying for you. Pray for us until we meet on Wednesday. Those that will be able to make it will just go to Sister Tendai's house. Just have a prayer there. Amen. And then God bless you richly. The great physician. I just want us to dismiss on this song. It's a beautiful song.
Sweetest Lord, in Selah song. Oh, sweetest Lord, in Selah song. Sweet.
Christ.
Rock of ages, cleft.